It's 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific, coast to coast and around the world.
I'm not a doctor, but I have a PhD in recognizing bullshit when I hear it.
From the America Out Loud Talk Radio Studios.
The American people are not feeling very loved right now, though. They're not feeling heard by the Biden administration.
It's time for The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott.
As we step into the program here for Wednesday night, we are here to my favorite night of the week. And the reason why is because we get to hear from the American people as we go live into an X space here in just a few minutes. But before we do that, we're going to have Mel Witte here. And she's been here before with some pretty big stories, and we're going to get right into the conversation with her. I'm Booker Scott. This is The Truth Be Told on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Thank you for being here. As always, I really appreciate you being here. This hour is brought to you by Gold Co. You can go to BookerLikesGold.com to find out if purchasing precious metals inside your IRA or your 401k is a good thing for you. Just go to BookerLikesGold.com to find out more about that. Well, Mel Witte has been here before. She broke a couple of big stories. We did the Letitia James story and how she spent her money, her campaign funds, on things like travel to Puerto Rico and Hollywood and Beverly Hills and spending thousands. I think the total was $384,000 she spent out of her campaign funds to fund her lavish lifestyle. And then Mel came back and we did a expose on Adam Kinzinger, the former congressman in Illinois, that was able to raise about $6 million in his last year in office when he wasn't even going to run for office again. He had already announced his retirement. You can read both of those stories in the archives on the show page at The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott at AmericaOutloud.news if you want to find out about that. Mel is back now, and now she has information about Speaker Mike Johnson she's going to share with us. And Mel, as always, great to have you here on the program.
Hi, Booker. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, what have you stumbled upon now? You've done great work in the past. You did Letitia James. You did Adam Kinzinger. Where are we now with Speaker Mike Johnson?
Yes, we are looking at old Mike Johnson and the influence that has been, bought with him. He has gone from, he wasn't really a prolific fundraiser, obviously, before he became speaker. He's raised a lot of money.
How much do you think he's raised since he's become speaker?
I believe he's raised $8 million in his principal campaign. He's raised almost eleven million in his one joint fundraising committee. He's raised, I believe it's another $4 million in his initial joint fundraising committee, and I'm pretty sure he's got $2 million in his leadership pack, but I don't know how much of that was actually raised as opposed to just transferred in.
So that's about $25 million he has. And let's just say it's $23 million. Let's leave the $2 million out of it. That's $23 million since becoming speaker in 5 or 6 months. And what did he do prior? Have you looked at that? What would be normal for him?
I'm pulling it up right now. So I said it's more than that 20. So I'm looking at Johnson Leadership Fund had $9.6 million in it as of this first quarter filing. Last cycle, the Johnson Leadership Fund total raised $670,000.
Wow, that's quite a bit of difference. That's $8.5 million difference. And all that happened was he became speaker. And I guess we should say this too, as we're getting into this, that you don't position this as in any way being illegal, and neither do I. Nope. And that's the frustrating part, is because it is legal. And as long as all of this money is involved, then the opportunity to have a government for the people, by the people, and of the people is almost impossible, because none of us can compete with $8.5 million in 5 or 6 months. And yet, what that money does is make us look at the things that someone like Speaker Mike Johnson does in a completely different light. If he only had $600,000 and hadn't collected so much, then when he is doing the things that he's doing, continuing resolutions, money for Ukraine, then we may look at it a different way. But now we're forced to look at it in this way, aren't we?
Correct. Right. We're seeing how this money plays into what he prioritizes in the House, you know, the bills that he's passed, but also what he's willing to use as leverage. You know, we have such a small majority in the mm-hmm. House that, number one, we all have to stick together. And obviously, Republicans have proven to be totally worthless yeah. in that yeah. regard. They won't even show a modicum of loyalty to their base's most pressing concerns.
You yeah, know, like the border.
I'm not even talking. Yeah, right, like I'm not the even border. Talking about you taking up, you know, kind of pet projects. I'm talking about Republicans expect that border to be secure, for you to shut down this asylum rigging that is going on, that's letting all of these people come in, for you to stop funding the flights that are carrying all these illegal immigrants across this country. And they can't even be bothered to do that, the most basic things. And yet, when a spending bill comes up for a foreign country, well, everything gets dropped and that becomes number one priority. You know, it's amazing when the number one priority of the House of Representatives is how fast can we send money to other countries?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about where this money is coming from to Speaker Mike Johnson. Who is donating to him?
Like I said, he has two joint fundraising committees. So he's got that leadership fund, or the Johnson Leadership Fund, which is his old one. But then he opened, after he became speaker, this Grow the Majority Fund. And so that's where we see a lot of pay to play on the foreign spending mm-hmm. bill. And a lot of it came from the pro-Israel lobby. Something pushing, if you add up the individuals and the PACs pushing for, you know, the $26 billion for Israel, Johnson received close to $2.5 million.
Just from that faction, just from the pro-Israel.
Just from that faction. Mm-hmm. And so, and we saw him make that a priority. So again, yeah. Normal, regular day, you know, when you've got rich billionaires cutting $500,000 checks, no normal American can compete with that. And yet I take issue with that, obviously, because I get it. That's important to you. It's a priority for you. But our country comes first, period. And you have that slim majority. So you have to be willing to use the leverage that you have to push through things that we want. And he has shown a total unwillingness to do that.
You know, Mel, I have said this quite frequently and quite recently as well, that when the Republicans gave up the opportunity to shut down the government back a few months ago, mm-hmm. they gave up all their leverage. At that point, yeah. they really had nothing left. That was it, that power of the purse. And when they gave that up and then they passed the appropriations and continued to spend just like Nancy Pelosi, there was nothing left for them. And I'm not a proponent of vacating Speaker Mike Johnson right now. I think it's too close to the election. I think we need a larger majority. And at that point, let's get the right speaker next January. I don't know what it solves to get rid of Speaker Mike Johnson now, other than giving the Democrats what they want, which is to tell everybody that the Republicans can't govern, which they wouldn't be wrong when they say that, because that's mm-hmm. what has happened the last 16 months in this 118th Congress. And have you been able to reach out to Speaker Johnson's office? Have you asked them if this is accurate information? When was this reporting done? And this $8.5 million that ended up into his accounts.
So this the first quarter filings for 2024 are just now starting to get posted with all of the processed data. But it's interesting because This report actually came out in The Guardian. Specifically, what I'm talking about is a $100,000 donation that came to Johnson after the House passed the initial $14.5 billion Israel bill. That kind of got, for some whatever reason, that picked up traction on X. And then Jenna Ellis, I'm sure
your listeners are familiar.
Right. She tried to call someone out who had reported on this or was reporting on how much money Johnson had received from AIPAC. And then was reporting on this $100,000 donation that came in to Johnson's joint fundraising committee after that initial the House passed that initial bill,
which then sat in the Senate and never came for an election. It never came for a vote, just so people understand. And for those of you listening on America Out Loud Talk Radio, Jenna Ellis is the attorney that worked for Donald Trump after the election in 2020. She got caught up in the Fulton County RICO case. She pleaded guilty to some misdemeanors. And if you're not on social media, on X specifically, you wouldn't know that she has been very bitter about it ever since. So I saw this comment that Jenna Ellis made on social media, and she said that she called Mike Johnson's office, and Johnson's office denied that this was the case. And I don't know that Jenna Ellis followed up with a question. I would have, but I'm sorry for interrupting you. I just wanted to catch everybody up in case they aren't on social media. Go ahead.
Right, right. So, yeah, so Jenna Ellis said that she called Johnson, and Johnson said that that didn't happen. And so she was trying to call this influencer out. And, of course, you know me. I'm all over the FEC website. So I come in and I said, well, actually, here, I can show you right here where he received 10 days after he pushed that initial bill. He received this $100,000 donation. And, you know, and then since then, this is where all this other money has come from. And something I don't think a lot of your listeners are probably aware of. I was excited because Laura Ingraham actually retweeted me the other day. So I'm hoping, I don't watch her show, but I'm hoping that she talked about this on her show. But something that people don't know about is in that Israel military funding bill, the Republicans, which they passed, $3.5 billion for refugee and migration services, and which is presumably going to get refugees from Gaza resettled potentially here in America in Europe.
Did you see Congressman Bowman? He is the one.
I sure did.
Yeah, he's the one that pulled the fire a fire alarm in the Congress. And he is saying that we need to bring these people here to America.
Correct.
Yeah,
right.
That's what you're talking about.
Right. And this is something that, you know, I saw this coming way back in October. I this is why I wanted no part of this war, period, because they're going to, you know, I knew what was going to happen. And unfortunately, we've got now millions of refugees and Republicans who aren't even able to, I mean, they can't hold their ground on anything. So do I trust that they are going to say no when it comes down to it? No, I don't think that they are, especially not when they just gave Joe Biden $3.5 million to help with these refugee resettlements.
So
people need to be really aware of what's going on here.
So Mel, you're connecting dots here, saying that that $3.5 billion that was just passed within this bill is going to be used to possibly bring Gaza Palestinian refugees here to America.
Joe Biden, they just announced, the State Department just announced the opening of two new satellite offices for refugee resettlement in the Middle East. That just came out last week.
And I just saw, I don't know if you saw this, but the port that they are building or plan to build, they say for humanitarian aid in Gaza, is the Pentagon saying now is $321 million in cost. And of course, there's no way for the Palestinians to get out of Gaza. They can't go to Egypt. They can't go north. So maybe the only way they can get out is with the $320 million pier that we are going to be building them from the Pentagon budget.
Correct. And so this, and then you've got these refugee resettlements, like HIAS, like IsraAid, Pandia, I think is the name of it, who they're located all over Europe. HIAS is down there at the Darien Gap right now, helping bring immigrants up into up through Central America into the U.S. And this is what they do. And obviously, Israel has a problem on its hands. It doesn't have any housing left in Gaza. They don't have. We've got lots of conflict around with the other countries. There's lots of reasons why they won't accept any more refugees. So they've got 2 million people and they don't know what to do with them.
They have to go somewhere, don't they?
They have to go somewhere, obviously. And so I think what we're going to see is they're trying to keep it low right now, keep it from, a pressure boiling point. But Republicans really sold us out with this package.
Well, we're getting used to it. We're sold out all the time. And the frustration is building. It's building and building. The only way to do this is get people that think and are like-minded people like us and get them into office in November. Mm-hmm. And the time is now to do that if it's not too late already. That work should have been done earlier than right now. But for those that are running, you can find the right ones and support them and get behind them. Going back to Speaker Mike Johnson and the money, because when we have done these in the past, Kinzinger, Letitia James, and now Speaker Mike Johnson, it's more about how these people can use the money and how, because it isn't illegal, and in most cases, they're not even breaking rules that are set for them. But it comes down to they get in these positions and they stay there because of this money, and it keeps normal people that want to represent us from even getting in the game, doesn't it?
Right. It does. It makes it so it's almost impossible. Mike Johnson comes from a R+14 district.
Yeah. So he's safe. He's not going anywhere.
It's very, very safe. In this last election, he did not have a primary opponent or a general election opponent. So.
And another problem too. Let me bring this up. Too, Mel. And for those of you listening, by the way, I didn't say it this time, but I've said it in past shows when she's visited with us. She is a political scientist and a small business entrepreneur, so I want to put that out there. The problem is these 2-year election cycles, the way it is set up, and when these representatives win a race, as soon as they get into office, their number one goal becomes fundraising. And there are literally cubicles where they go and sit to make phone calls, almost like a job, like a sales job, to get people to give money to both the Republican National Committee and also to their races. Now, when you're hearing these huge numbers that Mel is talking about, you're probably wondering, now, how can that be? Because there are limits. Well, there are limits on the campaign, but not to these PACs. And those PACs is where the dark money comes in and the money that can influence representatives later on. Am I right in that, Mel?
Yes. So there's a couple different ways. Individuals are limited to giving $3,300 for the primary and then $3,300 for the general. So you can only give $6,600 to a candidate, right? But then these candidates, they have what are called these joint fundraising committees. And what that is the candidate forms a joint fundraising committee with their chamber's party committee. So like on Mike Johnson's, he's got the National Republican Congressional Committee, which includes every single Republican member of the House. So now Mike Johnson is allowed to accept $6,600 for himself, and then also $6,600 for every single Republican in the NRCC. So that's how, in his joint fundraising committee, he's allowed to raise, take $500,000 checks, right? Now, they'll tell you, but they can only transfer $6,600 of that to themselves, and they have to give the rest of it to the NRCC. But what they don't tell you is that they're actually allowed to use as much as they want on operating expenditures for their committee.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that's where we find a lot of operating expenses being Grey Goose vodka and airplanes and hangars.
Well, what we find here with Mike Johnson is like, okay, so for the month of March, he billed his joint fundraising committee $527,000 for travel. In the month of February, he billed his joint fundraising committee $307,000 for travel.
It's a lot of traveling.
It sure is. Yes. But that's just in the one joint fundraising committee. Okay. If we go over to the other joint fundraising committee, that's where, because he's got, you know, $3 million in operating expenditures out of that one. He's got a $300,000 bill for January and for travel, and then another $180,000 bill in January for travel.
Man, it sure it got expensive to fly from Washington, D.C. to Louisiana in a hurry, didn't it?
It sure did. I've got, let me see, I'm looking here just for travel. Just in this year, I've got a $64,000 bill, $100,000 bill, $114,000 bill, $122,000 bill.
What is that? So, what do you think that is, Mel? That travel?
I think it's probably private jets. Yeah. But I think it's also it's definitely not catering because usually that's billed separately. So what they do is they use these companies that like he's using Strategic Advanced Services, and that's all we get to see is it just says travel. So it's probably private jets, but it's probably also luxury hotels. Whatever the Strategic Advanced Services, they're the ones who pay for everything, and then Mike Johnson just reimburses them.
Yeah.
So we don't really get to see the nitty gritty. Does that make sense?
It does.
And they've done this because it used to be they used to just bill everything to their credit cards. But then, you know, people got upset, laws got passed. So now they have to itemize everything on their credit cards. But if they go through these kind of conduits, these like third party services, then they can just, you know, write a check for $300,000 and then just say, we'll travel.
Well, Mel, we have to get the money out of it. We need campaign and election reform in such a bad way. And no matter what it is, whether it's the NGOs or what you were talking about earlier with Israel and $3.5 billion for possibly and let's be honest, it's going to happen. There are going to be Palestinians that are going to be brought here to America and live with us. That's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And we got to get the money out of it. And if you follow the money, it will always tell you the truth, won't it?
It sure will. It will. Well, it'll get you as far as you can go.
Well, Mel, thank you again for joining us. I appreciate it. Keep up the great work. You're doing fantastic.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. If you ask me, this whole world has gone to hell. I speak the truth, but these days the truth won't sell. I bleed red, white, and blue in my ways you just can't change. Wrong or right, I give my life for this place called USA.
More Truth Be Told with Booker Scott in a minute on America Out Loud.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Every afternoon at 3 o'clock, you can hear attorney Tom Renz right here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. That is followed up by the Constitutional Study with Paul Engel, also right here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. While you're here, go to AmericaOutLoud.news and check out all of the articles and additional podcasts that aren't heard on America Out Loud Talk Radio. And go in the shop. When you go in the shop, use the promo code OUTLOUD. You can save up to 25% on some things there. Plus, all the books are there from all the different authors that appear on programs here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. So please make your way to AmericaOutLoud.news. I'm Booker Scott. This is The Truth Be Told. And you heard there in the first segment about how money is donated, collected, and then spent by our politicians. And there's so many other ways that our government uses money. We look at the NGOs and how the NGOs are bringing people from all these different countries, from South America through Central America, straight to Eagle Pass. And that money comes from the UN, which is $1.6 billion just this year, to give all those people cash, cards, transportation, clothes. That's just one example, but there's so many examples. And I want to get your opinion. Wednesday night, we use it for going live into an X space, which is where we are now. And we're going to get the opinions of the American people. Let's go to the state of Kentucky. Let's go to Dave. Dave, go ahead.
Hey, Booker. Thank you for having me. Enjoy listening to your show. You're talking about money and politicians. Just my thought. I'm from a rural small community here from Kentucky, as you mentioned. I see a lot of the politicians getting into the field of, say, magistrate, judge, whatever, you know, mayor, just to make a living because, you know, that's what they want, just try to have some type of income. So they're not having to do a lot of physical manual work. They can do some things that are a little bit shady here and there and make a good living. But I think once you get up into, like, say, senator, House of Representatives, even further, those little things that you can do that are shady are a lot more vicious and a lot more pricey for, say, in someone who can be a Speaker of the House, 6 months, raise $7, $8, $9 million. It's just a sellout, and it's a shame that the American people pay the taxes, and that money gets shelled here and there. And, of course, you have your lobbyists, and I think the lobbyists are some of the worst people that there is.
If you go back and read that piece on Adam Kinzinger, you'll find that he raised $6 million in a year that he wasn't running for office, had already announced his retirement, and he was able to keep that money. And it really is generational wealth is what these people create. But you bring up something really interesting, because I was having a conversation with someone last week or the week before, and we were talking about the shift in government jobs. I can remember 20, 25 years ago where really having a government job wasn't something that you would aspire to other than for benefits and good retirement. But somewhere along the way, there has been a shift. And to your point, people are making a whole lot of money in government, and it probably shouldn't be that way. We have to take the money out of politics, and that may be the answer to a lot of our problems right now. You take the money out of South America, Central America, and bringing all those people here, I bet they stop coming. What do you think? Let's go to Patriot.
You were bringing up the refugees that they're planning on bringing here from Palestine. And, you know, not that we're already inundated with illegal aliens as it is, that for a lot are have nefarious machinations. But I just really wanted to, like, I have a story. I've been investigating Massachusetts when it comes to this. And I've been boots on the ground for a couple of weeks down there. And there's a city in Massachusetts called Taunton, Massachusetts. And
I've heard
the
of that
mayor
before.
Is a,
where is that?
Taunton,
I've heard
Mass,
of that.
Yeah. That is in the south coast, down by like New Bedford. It's like 25 minutes from Providence, Rhode Island, okay. About 35 minutes south of Boston, and depending on how fast you drive.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
And this is just one. No. It's quite all right. It's your show, my friend. Thank you for having me on. You know, so the mayor of Taunton, her name is Shauna O'Connell. She's a Republican. She served in the Massachusetts House before she became mayor of Taunton. There is a hotel in Taunton. It's called the Clarion. And last April, I had I live in New Hampshire now, so I had come down there and I wanted to stay at that hotel. And they were like, yeah, we're not taking anybody. This is last April, April 23. And I was like, what's going on? And I walk outside and I see a lot of black trash bags. Come to find out, she's been, they Clarion, the whatever the parent company is, they have overbooked. Like, they don't have booking anymore. It's completely an illegal alien shelter now. Mm-hmm. They have way over the amount of people that they're supposed to. She's been suing Clarion for since November. The company's accrued fines of $115,000 that they haven't paid, they haven't responded to, and the governor of Massachusetts is just allowing this. Same thing with a hotel in Rockland, Massachusetts, where unfortunately a young woman was the R word by an illegal alien. She was a 15-year-old.
Yeah, we can say rape. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I didn't know. I don't want to get you like demonetized or anything, my friend. This poor girl got raped. And then Gloucester, Massachusetts, there was an illegal alien who had four ICE detainers on him, was let go, and then raped a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
So Massachusetts now is just inundated with this. And now we're talking about bringing over Palestinian refugees on top of what we have pouring in over the border. This is like, I'm somebody who's an isolationist. I want to shut the borders down. I want no more immigration at all. I mean, but also, Booker, if you look, we have 24 million people who have filed to come into this country the right way. We have a backlog of 24 million people that want to come in this country, that want to chase the American dream, that want to be productive members of American society. And those people are just thrown by the wayside to allow all of this to come in. And now we're talking about bringing Palestinians in. This can't be. We can't do this anymore. We have to stop.
It almost feels like a plan, doesn't it? And you bring up the people that have waited and have done things the right way. I go to that all the time. It's not fair. America is supposed to be about fairness and equal justice and opportunity for all people. And if you are starting your journey as an American where you're getting skipped in line by people that shouldn't be here to begin with, then what is that saying about our country? Do we even still have a sovereign nation and a country? And now they're considering, and some people actually want to bring Palestinian refugees here to America. You know, it's got to be some sort of plan. You can't be this bad, can you?
Booker, so could you think this way, that the people that want to come in this country, that want to chase the American dream, the ones that are pro-business, that want to make money here, that are pro-capitalist and or mindset, you know, living the American dream, would be more apt to vote for people who are like-minded, obviously conservatives, the people that are coming over the border that are getting all the free stuff are going to vote for the people that are giving them the free stuff. This is why we're allowing. Now, what are we up to? 10 million?
Yeah. Who knows?
Last I checked was 10 million.
Yeah.
And then, you know, those 24 million people that want to chase this dream are more apt to vote for people aligned with their political views or their, you know, capitalist mindset. And our government, the way it is right now, doesn't want that. Is that a fair enough assessment?
Yeah, and I think you make great points. And here we are, we're worried about college campuses, and we had 1,800 known gotaways that came across in only two sectors over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 2 days, over 900 each day. And now they're floating around somewhere in America. Nobody knows who they are or where they are. They may be living in your neighborhood right now. By the way, your Massachusetts governor up there, that governor is the one that tried to get people to invite these refugees, these illegal immigrants, I guess we're supposed to call them newcomers now, right into your home. Now, is that not stupid? That makes no sense, does it?
She was on TV literally crying, literally crying that she's so disappointed in the Massachusetts citizens that they're not doing more to help these people out and bring them in their homes. And this is the same woman that, when she was attorney general, was caught up in a huge, 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 huge sex scandal with her state police guards. And, you know, this is... I can't believe that they voted for Maura Healey to begin with. I'm blown away. I'm glad I moved out, to be quite honest with you.
Well, that's the problem. The people we're electing or selecting is a big problem, and we've got to fix that. We have our opportunity coming up in November.
Well, Booker, the other problem is this, too, is that these companies, they see dollar signs, like all these hotels. It literally cost $35,000 a day. Every single day to feed and house all of the residents, the illegal aliens that are in Massachusetts, $35,000 a day. That's not even we're talking about the housing and the food. We're not talking about all the police the police shifts that, because they have to guard these places now because the crime is rampant. Like the Taunton police are stretched so thin right now they don't even know what to do. But even all of that is on the taxpayers. $35,000 a day, every single day.
Yeah, you were talking.
It's unsustainable.
You were talking about Clarion being at 100% occupancy. Why wouldn't they pay $150,000 fine? They're making more money than they've ever seen, because on a Tuesday, Wednesday night,
they're just ignoring it.
Yeah, right. They might as well. It's a business decision. Let's go to the state of Texas and let's listen to Cuervo. Cuervo, go ahead.
Hey, Booker. Really enjoy this show you got today. It's a really good topic. I'm going to point to reference a Bloomberg article, and it has a lot of video or infographs about who donated to the two 2020 campaigns. And the reason I think this is relevant is it shows the types of industries and companies that are donating at like really, it's almost like a 10-to-1 or 20-to-1 disparate proportion of what party gets funding for their campaigns. And why I think that's so relevant is that we know that money corrupts people. And the problem that I think we're not looking into, and what I wanted to say here, was about we got to get transparency in any elected official's position and how they generate revenue. And this comes from the promise of money for future too, like book deals. You know, we know that there's dark money. These independent donations, like how is that being, like, is there transparency in that? There's really not. And the big thing, if you're in financial services, they used to call this fraud technique is called layering. And so that's what politicians do. They're just really good at it, and some of it's legal.
Yeah, most of it is.
They layer, exactly. And so they call it layering, and they call it layering for a purpose because it hides where they make their money. But the big thing for me is that there is a big difference between what I would call global capitalism and national capitalism and how we generate money. If you look at these infographs, I think I may have sent it to you or whatever, but it really highlights what we're talking about, which is Republicans largely donated to Trump, and those were all like construction workers and people that actually earn their money from the United States. versus all of these other big tech companies that make a lot of their revenue, a lot of their profits from global transactions. So let that sink in for a minute. If we're talking about funding politicians, the other party has 10, 20 times more money at their disposal to do everything like hire lawyers, lawfare,
yeah,
political campaigns and ads and all that stuff, everything that goes into the cycle of politics. So if we wanted to really make it a fair and balanced party system, we got to level that playing field in somehow, and it all starts with the money flow.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
Thanks for giving me a mic.
Thank you, Cuervo. And that's the problem, isn't it? How do you do that when the people in charge are the ones that are benefiting? The people, us, we the people, we're the ones that are screwed on this. Let's go down to Brenda real quick. Brenda, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to speak on the immigration crisis. So out here in New Jersey, illegal immigrants are actually able to get driver's license. They're able to apply for a lot of different state benefits, and it's really hurting the veteran community a lot out here. I don't know how in Massachusetts, but out here it's pretty bad in that regard.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and by the way, that's actually Brendan, not Brenda. I could only see Brenda, so I apologize.
It's Brendan, yeah.
We don't have that type here on this program. Although they're welcome, that was my mistake. Yeah. I apologize.
Yeah, New Jersey's got a lot of that too.
The drag queen story time is what it is. And I hear there was some of that in Arizona. Maybe we can get to that coming up here in a few minutes. You know, if you listen to this show a lot, you know how I feel about our government and our financial system. So it's no secret I'm a big believer in diversifying your money with precious metals like gold and silver. And what about some palladium? But when it comes to buying precious metals, you need the right company in your corner. That's why I've partnered with the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, because reputation matters. Goldco is a six-time Inc. 5000 winner, the 2022 Company of the Year, and they've helped people like you and me place over $2 billion in gold and silver. I'm one of their customers. You should be too. And right now, they're offering my listeners up to $10,000 in bonus silver when opening a qualified IRA account. This is your opportunity to protect yourself from our out-of-control corrupt government. Don't pass it up. Grab your phone, your keyboard, whatever it takes to get the job done, and take action right now. Go visit BookerLikesGold.com.
More truth in minutes on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
The Wellness Company shares your values and fights for medical freedom. They put patients before profits and follow medical science, not political science like doctors on the left. Their chief medical board, which includes Dr. Peter McCullough, are the makers of the incredible American-made high-quality spike formula. If you worry about spike proteins, go to twc.health and use promo code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount. Once again, that's twc.health, promo code OUTLOUD.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Tonight at 7 o'clock, it is Unleash the Political News Hour. That's followed by the National Security Hour. And then at 9 o'clock, it is After Dark with Rob and Andrew. I'm Booker Scott. This is The Truth Be Told. Thank you so much for joining us on America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are live in an X space like we do every Wednesday night here. And we're talking about how much politicians get from donations, how they spend their money, how NGOs spend money. We can really take this conversation anywhere. We're talking about immigration and the newcomers that are coming, possibly even the Palestinian refugees from Gaza. It's a mess, our country is. Let's start this segment off with Lou in Arizona. Lou, go ahead.
Thank you, Booker. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. I just wanted to talk about the fact that we're focused on the fundraising part, but I think that we really need to talk about the stock trading part with our representatives in the House and in the Senate. A year ago, it was actually April 28th, 2023, there was a bill introduced. It's H.R. 3003, and it's about, you know, rebuilding trust with America, and it's basically the stock trading ban, right? It has been introduced. It went to the committee, and for a subsequent amount of time to be determined by the Speaker of the House, should it then move out of committee and then maybe to the floor. It has not. It has been a year. It has stalled there. This is where we have individuals who are representatives, senators, who are receiving information in committee. For example, maybe we are worried that we might have some sort of a military conflict. They may be in committee listening to information, maybe about a contractor or a certain weapon or something like that. They are able to take that knowledge and be able to invest in those companies, turn around and make $100,000, $200,000, $250,000 cash out, and, you know, benefit from the knowledge that they had that was not public knowledge that individuals that they represent would not have. And, you know, there's been a real push from Matt Gaetz, Corey Mills, Byron Donalds, Fitzpatrick from Pennsylvania One, who also introduced it, to try to get this ban in place so that they are no longer enriching themselves. When you look at, you know, somebody coming into Congress, for example, they may have a net, you know, worth of $1 million. They're in there for two or three terms. The next thing you know, they're worth $75-100 million. Where is this coming from when they only make $174,000 a year? And technically, they're supposed to maintain a home in their district, but they're also in D.C., so they have some sort of a rental property there. On $174,000, how do you make that kind of wealth when you have those kind of expenditures?
Well, Lou, I know you probably know that the Senate has also done the same type of bills, and they just sit there. I think it alternates between Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz. They take turns every other year. I don't know if you saw this, but Mike McCall, Representative Mike McCall, he made some interesting purchases of Meta right around the TikTok bill that he put forth. And then after it passed, he also bought some more. I don't know if you happened to catch that or not.
Absolutely, I did. And that was the example that had me looking into the bill, the H.R. 3003. And like you said, we see Marco Rubio, we see Ted Cruz, we see Corey Mills, we see Matt Gaetz. We see, you know, in this bill, this H.R. 3003 is actually co-sponsored or introduced with AOC. So this is a bipartisan bill. This is not something that the Republicans are trying to do, but it's in fact something that, you know, several conscientious, and I know I'm saying AOC is conscientious, forgive me, everyone, but they're recognizing this.
Yeah, I heard you say AOC was conscious, so I don't know when, but I get what you're saying. Even she understands that these guys are getting wealthy, and I mentioned generational wealth earlier. That's exactly what it is. We're talking about two, three generations after them are still going to be living off this political money as they grift and get through this. And meanwhile, look at the country. What's good about it? It's hard to find it right now, isn't it? Let's go back to Cuervo in Texas.
Yeah, I wanted to just call this out too, because we talk about immigration, we talk about illegal immigration and how that's affecting politics. But, you know, kind of going back to the NGOs, who's helping move these people? The churches who get a financial benefit from our country, right? Like, namely the Catholic Church, who are helping transport these people illegally across our southern border. But there's an alarming figure that we're not paying attention to, which is legal immigration through H-1B visa. And I think that that has gone up. It used to be like 50,000 a year. Now, then it went to 100,000 a year because, remember, there wasn't enough qualified labor in the United States, so they had to get cheaper labor from overseas and import them in legally. But that number has skyrocketed since over the last 3 years, went from, I think, 250,000 in 2021 to like 400,000 in 2022 and like 750,000 in 2023. That's alarming because these people get to stay here for a period of time. And as soon as they have a child on U.S. soil, they then become U.S. citizens. And, you know, it's really inhumane to deport somebody when they have a U.S. citizen kid. So I'm going to reference this too, H.R. 140, which is from 2021, which is the Birthright Citizenship Act. And that got no traction in Congress. So we got to start holding these politicians' feet to the fire and saying, if you want to give away jobs to foreign entities, then, you know, they need to, you need to pass this legislation first that protects, you know, protects our sovereignty. H.R. 140. And again, I think what we also have to realize too is we kind of dissecting where these politicians really lie. Do they really support our values? Or are they just trying to enrich their friends, family, and donors? Because that's what happens with all this war funding, right? We go and bomb Ukraine, and then 2 years later, all their friends, families, and donors are getting the contracts for rebuilding those countries. But I digress. Going back to H.R. 140, there was only 31 Republicans that co-sponsored that bill. And that's a huge tell for me, because all the rest of the Republicans were not willing to support the sovereignty of their of Americans, right? Of American workers, because they all benefit. Both parties all benefit from selling out American and our American sovereignty to foreign entities. So I just wanted to throw that out there. It's another example of how we need to give transparency to all these different ways in which they profit off of their time in elected positions.
Thank you, Cuervo. And let me throw out some numbers for you. You mentioned the NGOs, and there are 246 NGOs that are across 17 countries from South America straight up to Texas. They are spending $1.6 billion UN dollars, and most of those dollars come from you, the taxpayer. So that is a big part of what we're seeing. Let's go back to Lou in Arizona. Go ahead.
Thank you, Booker. I just wanted to also kind of touch base on the NGO situation or the refugees. So I know that the $95 billion bill was passed for funding, right, for foreign aid last week. And we had talked about earlier about how there is a $3.5 billion cut aside, right, for this refugee possible program coming out of Gaza. Now, what we need to understand, though, is not only do we have politicians raising money, but politicians are also enriching others within their circle. So a great example would be Mayor Eric Adams, right, in New York City. He actually did a no-bid contract for $432 million to a company called DocGo. DocGo has never done anything when it has to do with like refugee status, refugee housing processing, or anything like that. It was the company that they used for COVID testing and COVID and vaccinations, and they handed over this particular contract to them. And they are the ones who are supposed to be managing all of the, you know, quote unquote, refugees or illegals that are coming to New York City. What we're finding is that they have wasted, you know, several days worth, like $39,000 a day worth of meals. They have put hotels. They actually contracted with a hotel chain, right, as we discussed earlier, that happened to be the brother of the CEO of the company 2 months prior to the contract being given out. And then we have security firms that only have 3 or 4 full-time employees that are supposed to be the security at places like the Roosevelt Hotel, places like that. When the comptroller of New York City turns around and says, no, Mayor Adams, you can't do this contract, and he overrides you, it makes you wonder if we don't have a recipe for a lot of fraud and waste of taxpayer dollars, and now we're going to do this again and repeat it with people who may or may not be amicable about coming to the United States or wanting to assimilate in the United States.
All great points. Thank you, Lou. And let's go to Nathan. Nathan, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in off what Quetta was saying about the about Ukraine, and it's not just rebuilding. Part of what's happening is we're at a war between ESG with the Paris Climate Accords and the BRICS nations. So these companies that are being invested in, when all the dust settles, they're going to stand to be the huge monopolies, and Ukraine is going to be a gateway for Europe with all their transportation of goods and services. I don't have any thing offhand, but I would say that this other war in the Middle East is beginning to look like that as well. You consider ports being built up, and Iran has a new gateway to Europe. That's what it's called. It's being heralded as a gateway to Europe. There's so much corruption, and I just hope that America gets back to morality, and these people are brought to justice. Thanks.
And that's a heavy lift, I believe. And I'm going to go over some more numbers with you guys here in just a minute. Before I do, let's go back to New Jersey, and let's go to Brendan.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on the Palestinian, like, protest stuff. So I'm in high school currently, and this stuff is going to keep spreading. It's going to get a lot more violent because there's a lot of staff who, like, encourage this kind of behavior. And I'm just getting ready, you know, for that Summer of Love 2.0. What you're seeing at Columbia is just going to keep going, and it's not just going to stay at the colleges. It's going to start spreading into these high schools, and it's already started at some in New Jersey and across the New York metro area. So it's just going to get more and more violent.
Yeah, I think that's a good call, Brendan. I agree with you. It's not going to get easier between now and November, but now in November is where we need to focus. That's where we can make a difference. All these other things is really out of our control. We can only worry about the things that we can control. And I want to bring up this, and it's not to make you feel negative, but I want you to understand that $95 billion that was just recently passed between the Senate and the House, there's 535. I think there were about 530 that voted. There were only 138 no votes. So about 20% of the House and the Senate think the way you do. That's what has to be changed. If we don't change that, then we really have no chance to save this country. And that's the opportunity we have before us between now and November 5th. Find a candidate, support them, help them, get them across the finish line to make a difference so that we're not sitting here at 20%. And that number grows to 30 to 40 to 50 of like-minded people that represent our values. That's what this election is all about. Coming up next, it's Unleash the Political News Hour. You were told 2,000 years ago that you are the salt of the earth. And salt without flavor, it has no value. So whatever you do, keep being salty. I'm Booker Scott. Have a great night.
There is only one truth. You've been listening to The Truth Be Told with Booker Scott on America Out Loud.